Okay, so obviously the main event in this week's parasha is the spies, Shelach Lecha, talking about send for yourselves, which is talking about the spies. And really what the Or HaChaim that I've chosen focuses on is what exactly was going on, meaning what were the spies thinking? These were great people, surely. What was Moshe thinking to allow them to go in the first place? And so hopefully we'll kind of understand a little bit more about this story, about the episode, by reading the Or HaChaim on it. It's actually right at the beginning of the parasha where the Or HaChaim quotes. I was like looking through like most of the parasha to see where he actually says like his understanding of this whole episode, thinking surely it's not going to be right at the beginning, it's going to be in the middle of the story. Anyway, well, I got to the end, I went back and it's in the first pasuk, so I could have saved myself that time, but thank God, more learning. Okay. So the Pesukim that I put on are the first few Pesukim, and then I've skipped a bit, and you'll see why. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemar. Hashem says to Moshe, saying, Shelach lecha anoshim, send for yourself people, men, v'yosur es eretz Canaan, and they will scout out the land of Canaan, asher ani nosi levnei Yisrael, which I am giving to the Jewish people. Ish echad amatei avosav, one person for each tribe, tishlochi, you should send, kol nosi bahem, each one of them should be a leader of the tribes. Okay, so you see that Hashem is getting involved here. It starts off, Hashem says to Moshe, it's not just Moshe doing this of his own initiative. Hashem actually gets involved, at the very least, gives him permission to send these spies, if
But
not actually
is
telling
this
him.
in a different accounting? Because I definitely remember there were two accounts. Is this the one where it sounds as though God's commanding, but actually, is it in Devarim that you see the other side, where really it was initiated by humanity?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, initiated by the people. Vayishlach Osam Moshe sent them lasur es haaretz, to tour or spy out, scout out the land. Vayomer Aleihem, he says to them, Aluzeh b'negev v'alisim es ha'har, go up into the from the south, from the Negev, v'alisim es ha'har, and onto the hills. V'reisim es haaretz. This is now Moshe talking to the spies, right, telling them what they are supposed to report about. You should see the land, what it's like. And the people that are dwelling in it, are they strong or are they weak? Are they many or are they few? What about the land itself? Is it good or bad? And the cities that they dwell in, are they open cities or are they fortified cities? So Moshe gives them quite detailed instructions of what they're supposed to look for, right? When he sends them,
But
lots of questions that he
it's
says to them.
quite. I mean, even the, God has told them this is where you're going, right? There's been miracles left, right, and center. Why?
Right.
And bat they fought battles where it's clearly been miraculous when his hands are up, when his hands are down. So why would they even? Why would Moshe even think to ask them, find out if they're strong or they're weak? Who cares? You've got God on your side. Lift your hands
Excellent
up, and they'll be.
question. Excellent question. That's one of the things that we're going to deal with. Yeah, that's one of the things we're going to do. You're saying, what's the point of the whole exercise? Clearly this is all miraculous. You're on a roll. God's going to win this battle for you. Just forget the spies.
That and also, I'm actually, haven't really thought about this before, but it's almost like chutzpah dik for Moshe to be even saying, see if the country's good or bad, like whatever it is, God's given it to you. Like, that's, you know what I mean? It's like, well, let's say they say it's bad, so now what?
it's true. Good point. Okay, hopefully that will be answered. Okay, so says the Or HaChaim on this very first pasuk, the second pasuk in the parasha, Shelach lecha anoshim, send for yourself people. He picks up on that expression. Very strange thing. Normally Hashem says to Moshe, send people. Shelach anoshim, send. What does it mean, send for yourself? Either I'm doing it because God's told me to do it, or I'm just doing it by myself. I don't need God to tell me to do it. What exactly does it mean, send for yourself?
I guess, like Gideon said, like it becomes revealed in Devarim where actually they wanted themselves to go and look.
But then, understood, right? But then, what does it mean here? Shelach lecha, meaning Hashem's, they'd say something, right? They said to themselves they wanted to go look. It's true, but we still have to understand, why did God say? What did He mean? Shelach lecha anoshim.
Because it was
Well,
because they wanted to go. It was their on their initiative. So
right.
Hashem's responded to them, which only becomes clear later in Devarim, that actually it was their initiative that prompted Hashem to say, go for yourself.
So you're saying Shlach Lecha just is indicating that they were the ones who initiated it. Send for yourself, meaning if you want, you do it. It's your idea kind of thing. You can do it, basically.
Send to satisfy yourself in as much as...
Right. Yeah. If you want it, then you can do it. Yeah, okay, yeah. Understood. Understood. That could be one answer. But the Or HaChaim has an explanation, which I think helps explain the whole episode. Tzarech l'das omer l'cha. We have to know, what does it mean that it says to you for yourself? The Rabbi Hussein is a chayin l'vracha omru. Our sages tell us in the Gemara in Sota, it says, l'da'atcha, you do it for your decision, up to you. Ani eini mitzavacha. I am not going to command you to do this. In fact, as you said, Haley, it says in Devarim, when it recounts this, it says, Vayitav be'enai hadova. Moshe says, the Gemara quotes this, Vayitav be'enai hadova, which means Moshe says, it was good in my eyes. And the Gemara picks up on that. It was good in your eyes, Moshe, but not necessarily in God's eyes, right? It was your decision to do it. The Kosher says the Or HaChaim, Lama yaskim Hashem ha-ra'a. Why would Hashem agree with this wicked thing? There's something bad which is going to happen from this episode, from the spies. And now he, as it were, seems to be commanding or at least agreeing to this counsel of these people. Meaning, if it's a bad thing that's going to happen, then why is Hashem getting involved? Okay, if they decide to do it, let them do it. But how is it that Hashem agrees to it and sort of is aiding and abetting this whole episode taking place? Yep.
Is that a real question, though? I mean,
gone.
Isn't, you know, Hashem has said, this is how I'm going to run the world. There's going to be free will. You're going to get to decide what you want to do. So if your free will choice is to do something that will result in bad, that's your free will choice. If I change the way I want to run the world, that is going to break it. So I don't.
But maybe that's why he's saying, like, send the best men of each tribe so that they're going to, you be the wisest, like, I don't know, the chieftains, the Nasim or whatever, that they should be the, he's actually selecting the people almost that should go. If they're going to go on this mission.
That might be why you're choosing the best to try and minimize that. But they're saying
the best chance.
Yeah.
Why is God letting this happen if it's going to be bad?
I think you're right, Gideon, that usually we have a klal that even someone habar l'tamei Messiah, you know, so that some poschin lo, you allow him to do it. Hashem will allow. If someone wants to do something bad, then God doesn't stop them, right? Free will, and, you know, go ahead and do it. But the Or HaChaim's question, I think, is more than that. We're not just talking about God allowing them to do it. Vayadaber Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, send the people. Right? It's true, send for yourself. Why did God get involved? You know, God doesn't, if you've got a Rasha, you've got someone who's doing something bad, you're right, he's got free will, he does it. But God doesn't sort of put his emblem on it, put his stamp on it. You know
but
what
also,
I mean?
God doesn't say go and do all the things Moshe told them to do. He says go and look at the land. He doesn't say go and
hunt out all. Excellent. What you're saying is maybe actually God's intention and Moshe's intention possibly were different than the spy's intention. And actually what God was getting involved in and giving permission for was something different than the spies ended up doing in the first place.
He wanted to show off Eretz Israel as opposed to get them to worry about
That's basically the way that the Or HaChaim takes in understanding this. Yeah, that's basically the beginning of what he says. Let's have a look. Ulahavin Ha'inyan, A'ir Bedavar. I will ask to explain this. Let's begin with the following question. Mibeten mi yotza ha-kerach ha-ra ha-gadola nisbeves me ha-meraglim. What caused this awful thing that was the deed of the meraglim? Remember, this is sort of earth-shattering in terms of Jewish history, right? This is the night, the first Tisha B'Av, that becomes the destruction of two of the temples. So this... You know, maybe it's fair to say more than anything that takes place in the desert, even more than the golden calf, this affects us throughout the rest of Jewish history. So what causes this, he asks. Im mitzad ha-maisa, if it was the action of sending spies, ein bo ra, there's nothing bad about it, inherently bad. Ki alo matzino in Yehoshua, the book of Joshua, sholach Yehoshua, beisa noshim miraglim, Yehoshua sent two spies, yiraglu ha-aretz, they spy out the land. Before Joshua goes into the land of Israel, that's the Haftorah, of this week, that he sends spies as well, and there's no problem. He's not punished, nothing bad happens, it's all good.
That does sound different, so maybe he did learn a lesson. If you're saying he only sent two, that's not 12. So it's already a difference. So maybe you can't draw from that, you know, that sending spies is okay. Maybe it's
right.
I don't know, it's just, it doesn't.
There's
seem
a
like
certain a certain type of spy, which spying, which is okay.
Purpose, the purpose behind it.
Right, exactly. So that's why he's gonna explain what the difference is in that purpose. So therefore he says, but you see, it's not inherently bad. And if you're going to tell me it was because the spies themselves, Shahayu Rishayim, that the people that were sent were wicked, Hello Matsino Shin Nivchur Al Pi Hashem, as you pointed out, we find that they were chosen by Hashem, Abuchin Libo Suklaus, who understands the inner workings of a person. The Torah describes them with the term Anoshim, which means men of stature, Shem Tzadikim, righteous people. So therefore, the act isn't evil, the people aren't evil. He's basically saying, what went wrong? What happened? Why was this so bad? So he says, he brings a medrash. Let's go, we're on the second page. Achein yispa'er hadava api divreyem zichronim levracha she'omru. This is explained according to what they said. This is from a medrash called the Yalkut Shimoni. There are lots of different types of medrash, and the most classic one, the medrash being the oldest, most ancient, if you like, commentary on the Torah. It dates back to the time of the Mishnah. The classic one is called the Medrash Rabbah, which you might have seen quoted very often. Actually, if you want to learn something on the Torah, sort of really the original sources, Art Scroll have now brought out a Medrash Rabbah, which you can read through because they've got the English, they've got commentaries on it as well. And it's basically, so that's probably, that's the earliest commentary, if you like, on the Torah, you know, that exists. And lots of other people have, of course, quote that during the year. So that's the foundation for a lot of other commentaries. So that's
can you
one
understand
minute.
It as a lay reader? Like, would I be able to follow it?
Yes, with the Art Scroll, for sure. They've done a great job of elucidating, as they call it. I think they made up that word. but they do have, they've done a very good, no one knew about it before Art Scroll. So the Yalkut Shimoni is a lesser known collection of Midrashim. They're different collections. So Medrash Rabbah is one collection of Midrashim. The Yalkut Shimoni is another collection, which is longer, in fact. And he quotes in this case from there, from the Yalkut Shimoni.
All these different Midrashim, just thinking, he's mentioned the times of the Mishnah. In the times of the Mishnah or the Gemara, were people expected to know? I know they were expected to know every Mishnah off by heart. Were they also expected to know these Midrashim off by heart?
No, definitely not. There were certain Tanoim and Amoraim who were very, very fluent in the Mishnah. In the Medrash. So, for example, there's a whole Medrash which is known as the Medrash of Rebbe Tanchuma. There was one of the Tanoim had his own Medrash. You know, he was that proficient in it kind of thing. He had a commentary on the whole, his own commentary on the whole Torah. But generally speaking, no. And also the Gemara rarely quote. Sometimes there is crossover. There is definitely crossover, but it's not, because they're not halachic, so therefore they're not quoted as often in the Gemara as the halachic parts. You know, there's the Agadata parts of the Gemara where these are quoted more. V'zeh l'shonam. And this is what they say. B'tchila, originally, at first, niskamtu etel Moshe l'shloach hamaraglim. All the people came to Moshe and they said, let's send spies. Velo rotzah. And Moshe says, no, he doesn't want to. And he says, no. And they weren't going to go against Moshe. This wasn't a rebellion. That's Korach. That's a different parasha. Va'amar lahem. And he said, Kvayv tichanu Hashem, what are you worried about? Like Gideon said, Hashem's already promised us. We don't need to send spies. Va'amrullah. And they said to him, Ki ha'am mim yodim banu. The nations in the land know about us, Shanubayim Lirashosam, that we're coming to drive them out. They're hiding all of their money, all of their wealth. And so therefore, when the Jewish people end up entering the land, we won't find any of their riches, any of the treasures that they have. And then God's promise, when Hashem promises to us that we will have, it says, Motsum Botim Leim Kol Tov, you'll find only good things in the land, then that's not going to be fulfilled. V'oz, and then Vayita Adava Ba'ene Moshe, then that's when it says, now he's quoted from Devarim, the matter was good in the eyes of Moshe, which means, Masha Amru, V'yach Perulanu Esa Oretz. Now that can be understood as we'll spy out. It literally means to dig, though, a chafira. In Hebrew is a dig, an archaeological dig is called a chafira archaeologit, wonder where they got that word from. But a chafira is to dig. So literally, v'yachbru lano es ha'aretz means perish ha'chafira shematminim bahem samanum, etc. I don't know what samanum, tamanum, I think means. But they, the digs, the places where they have hidden all their treasures, that's what we're going to dig up, literally dig them up. Kevin sheshama Moshe kach, when Moshe heard this, nilkad bi'aldam, he was captured in their hands, meaning then he gave his consent to it. He was basically fooled by them. Adkan.
Does this whole argument make sense? I mean, they've already agreed, like I said, they don't need to worry about conquering the land because God's promised it.
Right.
So in the same vein, if God's promised them wealth, why do they have to worry about it? It just doesn't seem to make sense. Not only that, why do they even need the wealth? Haven't they left Egypt with more wealth than they can imagine? What's the wealth of the Canaanites going to do? You know, I don't remember exactly what God promised, but either way, the same logic that applies for winning the war should apply for God's going to figure it out. Don't worry.
And equally, isn't there like a thing that you shouldn't try and make something come true that, I don't know, is there or not? Did I make that up?
Well, you shouldn't make what come true?
Like, if Hashem's promised something, you shouldn't then try and convolute to make that happen. I don't
you
know.
Could do your best. You do your best to make sure that it happens. I think that the difference is, it's a good question, you know, but the difference is, I suppose, how far do you go in terms of relying on miracles? So in terms of them conquering the land, God's promised them. So Moshe says to them, don't worry about it. Hashem's already promised us. There's no need to send spies. We need to fight, right? You know, they had an army. You know, they had whatever weapons they had, I don't know, but they had an army. They fought. In the end of the day, whether they needed to use that army or not, you know, it sometimes yes, sometimes no. So they clearly weren't just relying on miracles. So Gideon, maybe the answer to your question is, therefore, fighting the war, Moshe says, look, we'll go, we'll arm ourselves, we'll fight the war. We don't need to do, it's not a necessity to do that, to spy out the land. Whereas in this case, we can't just rely on the miracle totally. Maybe that was how they managed to convince Moshe. But what seems to be clear is that they had ulterior motives all the time. The people who came to him, their motives were always what they wanted originally, which was they wanted to spy out the land because they didn't believe. They didn't have that level of bitachon, let's put it like that, the same level of bitachon that Moshe had or that they were supposed to have. Right? And that's what he says. Hine, mimasha diktiku b'ma morim zalf, and that which they said, v'amu nilkad b'yodom, that Moshe was trapped by them, by their words. It seems that they actually tricked him. V'lochduhu ba'armon, cunningly trapped him. V'ein yodua mai mirma shedibru b'pim shabon nilkad. What exactly was the way in which he was trapped? And now he's going to explain, therefore, what was their intention and what was Moshe's intention.
And can you remind me, please, of what actually God promised in Israel? Like, why are we picking up on the? First of all, it seems as though these guys were super quick thinking. Like, you know, they initially started saying, let's spy it out so we can win the war. And Moses says, no. And they said, no, of course we're going to win the war. What we mean is we've got the riches. So these guys are obviously pretty switched on. But what actually did God promise them that
Pasuk, I think it might actually only be quoted later on. But he quotes them. He says, Hashem's promised them, Botim Meleim Kol Tuv, that you're going to find houses, literally, the people of the land, you're going to inherit their buildings. And they're going to be full of good things. You know, literally physical wealth, right? Money, good houses, that sort of thing. That's what you're going to get when you go into the land. He says to them, you're not going to have a situation where the land is desolate and there's going to be wild animals running around. They'll leave and then you'll drive them out. They'll be scared or whatever it was. And then you'll go straight into the land, basically. And you'll occupy their houses. So therefore they've been promised, and therefore they come to Moshe and they say, I know what you're thinking, you know, command and conquer is not a very 21st century friendly type of idea at all. But
okay, you end up with Gaza.
It's what?
And you end up with Gaza.
Well, that was the other way around.
No, but never mind. Not get into that now.
Not now. Okay, another week we'll see if we can do Gaza. Now maybe when it comes to it, actually, we should discuss the conquer of the land of Israel. It's safer tomorrow, the book of tomorrow. So, but therefore, they managed to convince Moshe because they say it's really kind of like we're doing it l'shem shamayim, right? We're doing it because not because we don't believe in God. We're doing it for the sake of heaven. God's promised us. We want to make sure this promise comes true, and therefore that's why we're doing it. And now he explains a little more what the difference was. And he contrasts this episode and the episode of the spies with Yehoshua, with Joshua. Achein, the second paragraph on this page. Beis mine rigol heim. There are two types of spying. Ha'echadu rigolo das derech ha'sheya alubo. The first one is to spy in order to know the best way to conquer, to enter the land. Gam lo dasim yatrichu kol Yisrael alas uchelek echad mehem. And also to know whether the entire people need to go in. Do you have to take the whole people, the whole army, or just a portion, just a part of them? I'm just skipping down a line. If this is the case, you only need to spy out one city, the city you're planning to enter right now. When they conquer it, and they then go and besiege another city, and they can then spy out the other one. Meaning, all you're doing, it's a technical, the spying is just tactics. That's all you're doing. Tactical thing. What's the best way to approach the city? By the way, in the book of Yehoshua, that's exactly what they do. That's the whole story where they're Kalev and they go up to, they're hoisted up onto the wall by Rachav. She shows them where the weakness is, how they can enter the city. That is literally the story there in the book of Yehoshua. How are we going to get into this city?
So we're saying that type of activity is kind of the meeting point between Betachon and Emuna. So there yes. We're saying, yeah, you don't want to just rely on a miracle. You've got to do your bit. You've got to send men in with arms. So let's find out the best way of doing this. And that would be 100% legitimate.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The wriggle base and the second type of spying, who wriggle clolly. That is a general spying, meaning not just a one city, but the whole entire land. Zeyora, this shows, ki rotsim liros in a shire, they want to see and they want to evaluate for themselves. Im yesh koach b'hem lichvoish, if they're going to have the strength to conquer the whole thing. You don't want to start something you can't finish. So you don't go into the first city and then go, oops, now they're going to completely, you know, obliterate us, right? You check out that you want to conquer the whole land of Israel. So you look at the whole land.
The who are regal words. So there, if you, that's saying, don't look at that. God's told you you're going to be in here. Tactically go in, check out the best way of doing it. There's your bit of fun versus your amuna. But when you look back at what Moshe said, he talked about the whole land.
Excellent. Yes. Just one second. Let's get to that. We'll get to that. V'hu arigol she'eskimu Yisrael lishlach l'ragel hu l'klolos eretz kana. And this is what the Jewish people did. The second type. They said, we're going to go look at the whole land. You see, they go up and down. They walk across the whole land. The Pasuk says, l'klolos eretz kana k'moshim v'fush b'mais, as it's described in the Torah clearly. V'ze yagid. And this suggests clearly, mi'at ha'emunah b'Hashem, a lack of faith in Hashem, Ubikush to'ana, which means looking for an excuse. They're looking for a way in which this is going to go wrong. For Lazer Amru b'Medrash, and that's why the Medrash said, Shelo rotza Moshe. Moshe didn't agree to this. Achen ischakmu b'mirma, until they cunningly overcame him with their request. Vayedabulo, and they spoke to him. Shelatzadat monasam momenem sholchem. The reason why they need to go to the whole land, they said, is not because we want to see if the land is good and we're going to be able to conquer the whole thing. They said, rather, we want to just see about the money and where they hid it. The times it's so deep, call Eretz Canaan. Then they could justify going to the entire land of Canaan. The Nilkad B'Yodam, he was then trapped in their hands. The Shalach Meraglim, the Tachlis Zeh, and he sent the spies for this purpose. Ki ain ra b'davar, because there's nothing bad about this. Kamochen, similarly, Yoshua Shalach Meraglim, the Siba Hatzricha, Kamoshe Kosavdi. And Joshua sent the spies, like I said, for the reason that he wanted tactics to know how to enter the city. Ve'ein ra, and there's nothing bad in either of these. And adafka b'tam rigul shayah b'das Yisrael b'gnei b'das Moshe. But only in the type of spying which the Jewish people wanted to do, where they deceived Moshe. Because the Jewish people wanted to go throughout the land to see whether they would actually be capable of conquering it.
Can I just ask you, like, the order of events here? Because... Yeah. Did the people go to Moshe and say, we want to do this, oh, because of the whole, like, hidden treasures aspect, and then Moshe went to Hashem? Or did Moshe kind of miss the step of asking Hashem's permission to send them in for this reason? Like, was it a two-stage thing? Hashem said, go and have a look at the land, and then Moshe said, okay, go and do all of these things, which Hashem didn't explicitly say, and then... they said, oh, we want to go in and then have this conversation, or did that come before? Like, what's the order of events?
I think they first approached Moshe, because that's why we're going to get onto it. That's why Hashem only comes in after. They have this whole conversation where it seems first they said, we want to send spies. Moshe says, no. I don't know whether they went into detail at that point. I presume that they didn't. Otherwise, Moshe would have been clear what their, you know, evil intentions were, right? So they said, we want to just send spies. Moshe says, no, we don't need to send spies. Then they say, no, we're doing it for this specific purpose. At that point, Moshe then agrees. And then it sounds like that's where Hashem gets involved.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Because I read it kind of the other way around. Like Hashem said, go and look at the land, how lovely it is in that way.
Right.
Like on a basic level, go and have a look at it. This is what you're going to get very soon.
I think the order only comes clear with Devarim, like we said at the beginning.
Yeah.
Looking at this, the very first thing is Hashem saying, go and do this. Mm. And we're now realizing that, no, that's not the case.
Yeah.
But it's the whole point, like, he was tricked by him. I don't understand how Hashem wasn't involved in that whole getting around the trickery process.
Is going to touch upon both of these things. Look at this last paragraph, and it's going to explain to us the order.
And then now he ends up going to say to us why Moshe himself said, look out at the whole
land. Yes. So now he comes back. By the way, we're getting a bit used to the style of the Or HaChaim. After he's done his whole, he asks the questions, he says his whole explanation, and then at the end comes back to the posuk, right? So now he's come back to the posuk. We're now on the third page, at the top of the third page. Therefore, this is what Hashem says to Moshe. V'omar, and he says to him, shalach lecha, send for yourself, peirush, this means to say, l'masha atos over hashlichus, what you, for the shlichus, for the messenger, the spying that you intended, not for what they intended, which was only in order to find the money that was hidden. Perush of a low litam shechoshim heim, and not for the reason that they think. So therefore Hashem kind of actually sort of tries to tell him, tries to, you know, hint to Moshe, kilo machshavosam, machshavosam, that their intention is not the same as his intention. Moshe efshashlo heidin akavona ala seder. Moshe maybe didn't intend, he says, suggests Efsha, that Moshe didn't actually understand what Hashem's hint was. And he understood differently, as I will explain. So he says, Shalach lecha anoshim, send for yourself. It's not just that God just came and agreed, you know, do it if you want to do it. But rather, after this conversation, this back and forth, Hashem could see that there's now two intentions with sending the spies. Moshe wants to send the spies for good reasons, and he thinks that's why the people want to send the spies as well, just to look out for where this money is. The spies' intention is because they lack emunah, because they lack faith. And therefore Hashem hints to Moshe and says, shalach lecha, send for yourself.
Why would Hashem need to hint? I mean, why wouldn't he say, like, they've got, you know, a conversational relationship, right? Said, look, watch out, like, make sure they're doing this, you know, because I can see into their hearts and they want to do that.
But that's all over Torah, like, it's all hints.
And then you get back, he says this at the end, the last line of this paragraph, he says, v'im toimar, if you could ask the question, kushel elokeinu, it's difficult for our God, lama lon mon hadova mihios kein, why didn't he just prevent this from happening? He should have just said to Moshe, you know, none of these hints, he should have just said to Moshe, stop them. This is bad, right? Don't let them go, they're bad people, they've got bad intentions. So he says, Letzach Ra'a, he saw, this is Hashem saw, Shezulas Zeh, that without this, are you Pokrim Yosef? They would have actually made it worse. Vayosef, Behola Yosef Imash Asub Alichas Maraglin, they would have made even greater confusion. Had Moshe stood up to them at that point, you know, because God had commanded him and said, no, you're bad, you're, this is all wrong, you're not sending them, he says the situation would have been actually worse, Hashem saw. Now, you could also say that this is, we're getting into the question already of Bechira, free will, right? Once they had made up their minds to do this, that they wanted to send for this reason. So there was clearly a lack of emunah. There was clearly a lack of emunah. So the fact that Hashem allows them to do it is actually not that surprising, right? Why would he have prevented them from doing so?
Because of what I said at the beginning, where you've got the free will choice.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that's different to what Or HaChaim's saying, where he's saying it's going to be worse. That means that God looked at option A and option B. Option A is you let them go, give them, quote unquote, give them consent for what they've already decided to do.
Right.
And if you don't, you know, all hell's going to break loose and it's going to be absolutely terrible for Bnei Israel. So therefore, option A. Yeah,
that might just mean that it's indicative of the fact that Hashem knew that it was actually going to come to something. Meaning, sometimes you might think of doing something bad, but it's not actually going to come to anything. It's not going to come to fruition. But in this case, it was clear to Hashem that it was going to, you know, that something bad was going to happen. If it wasn't in this way, it would have happened another way. So therefore, he wasn't going to sort of prevent this from happening. Alternatively, the point is that here, it wasn't just them. Remember, at the end of the day, the spies, they come back, they tell the people the bad report. So if you like, they're almost like influencing the rest of the people. So you could say that, yeah, they've got free will. Let them, you know, do whatever they're going to do. Let them get in trouble. But how can you let them influence the rest of the people? So maybe the Or HaChaim means that he saw that the rest of the people, clearly they also lacked emunah because they believed the spies. And that's why they're punished as well at the end of the day. And therefore, if the spies wouldn't have gone, then there would have been this whole, you know, all of the people would have been, you know, would have, I don't know what they would have done, had an uprising. They would have done something worse, basically.
But if we're going down that route, then don't we get into all sorts of trouble with things like, you know, Hitler? We're trying to say that God let Hitler happen because otherwise it would have been even worse. Like, are we not forced into a route like that? If we're trying to say that God is choosing to let us make bad decisions because the alternative would be even worse and he doesn't want that.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. I don't think we always need to say every time something bad happens that God allowed it to happen because something worse would have happened. It's a good point. Meaning we could just answer his question simply, you're saying, right? Hashem doesn't prevent it happening because they had free will. They had free will, they made the decision, and therefore God allows it to happen. Yeah? Yeah, okay, I understand what you're asking, why he needs that extra reason, yeah? But nevertheless, we still have a question which you've asked, Gideon, which was, if all of this is true, and according to Moshe, it's a legitimate reason to go and look for the money, that's the only reason they're going, then, this is why I brought all these psukim at the beginning. Why does Moshe say to them, go and scout the land out and see if they're strong and see who's living there and see if their cities are fortified, right? All of that stuff sounds like he's preparing for war. It doesn't sound like they're going to look for money. So what's Moshe?
So in Devarim, Moshe sounds repentant for behaving like, for like sending them effectively to do that.
Right. Okay. But I haven't actually gone over the psukim in Devarim to see, but it could be, remember, that when Moshe's repentant, he's repentant at his level. Why wasn't I more aware? You know, not that I thought the same as them, but I should have been more aware of what they were doing, you know, and therefore my level, that was something that, you know, that he found was wrong with himself. So have a look, the Or HaChaim, I just spoke this, he continues, by the way, you think this is long, he continues in the Chumash, yeah? So, but just, we'll do it outside, but just the one line, he says that Moshe had a secondary intention for sending them as well, which was the following: Gam yaskilu b'rigula mashe yafli Hashem lahashpil romim am gadol v'ram robim atzum k'di shebalanes yakeh b'nisai. Also, one of the objectives would be that they would understand through the spies how wondrous it was that Hashem had done for them. If the people would have just gone into Israel and Hashem did miracles and they won all these wars, but they didn't realize how strong these people were that they were defeating, then they wouldn't have really recognized the kindness that Hashem had done to them. So therefore Moshe says, go see, go check it out. And his purpose of doing so is only that they'll come back and they'll say to the people, their cities are fortified and the people are huge and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But nevertheless, we're going to go in because Hashem has told us and we're going to win. It's like the, you know, I always think, you know, in Kelodon, when we speak about the sun and the moon, the whole paragraph on Shabbos, the one that we sing before the Shema, Kelodon, right, is all about how the stars and the sun and the moon, everything does Hashem's bidding, and therefore God is the most amazing creator in the world, right? People worshipped, think about it, other nations were worshipping the sun, the moon, the stars, yeah? This was like the thing that took them away from God, and yet we talk about it and we say, isn't God amazing? Look what he's created, this amazing sun and moon and stars, right? Why? Because there's always that two ways of looking at it. The very thing that for one person takes him away from God, in this case, the very thing that ended up making them lose their emunah, Moshe was intending them that they'll have, see how great it is, see how the people are you know, huge and fortified, etc., and then you'll appreciate God's miracle even more. So there's always kind of two ways of looking at it, but, and that was Moshe's intention.
Two thoughts come to mind. The first is, I still don't see how anything we've talked about deals with the see if the country's good or bad, because that's now not about appreciating how well fortified they are. Nevertheless, Hashem's going to, that's into the bad kind of spying to try and assess whether or not it's worth it. And the second point is how you shouldn't test people. So why would Moshe, because it's a test, right? We're saying by seeing how fortified and how strong the army is and how big the people are, and yet Hashem's going to, that's adding to the test. So he's like putting a test in front of them and sort of testing their faith, which, so both of those things seem like...
Great questions. Now, firstly, about whether the land is good or bad, Maharet, Ashiyoshba, Atovi, and Ra, that definitely is for the Nais. Meaning if they come back and they say to the people, look how amazing this land is, then what a kindness God has given us. So,
no, but that falls into your second category of spying, where it
could be
something of a more comprehensive nature.
Yes, all of these questions could be understood in that respect. But the Or HaChaim is saying that the way Moshe intended them, by the way, it's interesting, actually, I'm just thinking now, it could be even that the spies, if you want to go even deeper, maybe the spies understood Moshe was on their side. They could have been, you know, it's possible that even they understood Moshe's questions differently in light of what they wanted to do. But Moshe's intention, says the Or HaChaim, for all of this, is the land good or is the land bad? Well, if the land's good, then God is amazing. He's given us such a good land. It's not that if it's bad, we're going to walk away, right? We're going to go in whether it's good or bad. Okay. He knows it's good. Yeah, so it's all part of that. In addressing your second question, I actually read this just this week, where Moshe Shapiro asks, I think that question, I think it's that exact question. How could it be that he puts them in such a situation where they are tested? And he says that everything else, I mentioned this kind of in short with my story, that everything else, all other parts of Yiddishkeit, we're not supposed to have to rely on Nisim, meaning we would never be put in such a situation, put ourselves in such a situation where we see that the land is tough and the people are tough, and nevertheless, you're still going to conquer it, right? Because according to, we go according to nature. You have to live your life according to the laws of nature. You don't rely on miracles, etc., etc. He said there's one place which is different, and that's Israel. The connection of the Jewish people to the land of Israel is miraculous and was always miraculous. And it began in a way which was miraculous. So he said, therefore, actually, this was the time when Moshe had to test the people, because he said to them, if you want the land of Israel, you have to realize that your connection to the land of Israel will never make sense. It will never run according to natural means. You know, it almost kind of sends a shiver down your spine when you think of 1948, 1967. You know, it's like in our days, we can see that, right? Nothing makes sense. We don't deserve, or we don't, you know, militarily, we should never have been able to have a state of Israel. It's that nothing makes sense that it actually happened, right? So that's how Moshe Shapiro answered that. And then it puts that into, so it's a very, you know, puts it into a very powerful light. We have to end, but just kind of to sum up, I think the lesson maybe that we can take from it, the takeaway message, is that it's such a severe episode, as we said, which has repercussions throughout Jewish history. And according to the Or HaChaim, it doesn't come down to the action being inherently bad. It doesn't come down to the people being inherently bad, but it comes down to their intention. Moshe's intention is for the good. The people's intention is for the bad. The Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin, in his Sefer, he says, he speaks about how the same person doing a job can either be doing chesed all day, or he can be just satisfying his own taiva, his own ego, the entire day. He says, he's, you know, in his day, a shoemaker, right? But I suppose nowadays, let's call it a lawyer. For, you know, any job is the same thing, right? A lawyer can do his job in a way that he genuinely cares for his client. He genuinely, you know, he's trying to be honest, but he genuinely wants his client to do the best. And he's a giving person. And every day he goes to work and he gives. He gives to this one, he gives to that one. He spends his whole life giving. Of course, he's getting paid because he needs to put food on the table, and he's justified in taking whatever the going rate is. Or alternatively, he can spend his whole life taking, because his intention is, I want your money, and then I'll take your money, and then when I'm finished, I'll take both of your, you know? And that's his intention. And he might be dishonest as well. We could throw that in as well. But it's all, the difference is all the person's intention. And you see that here, I think, profoundly. This episode ends up as being an absolute disaster, not because the action is inherently bad, but because the intention and the way that it's done is done all for the wrong reasons. And that's what turns the whole thing around.
I think we've really got to struggle with the fact that I think Hayley mentioned in the beginning that these were the princes of the nation. So
yes.
We started off, I think you started off by saying this is what caused Tisha B'Av, the destruction of the temple. Yeah. It came from here. Yeah. How can that happen?
It's a good question. The Arachaim addresses, the Arachaim says on that point, again, I did put this on the sheets. He says that that could also be one of the explanations of Shalach Lecha Anoshim, he says, is that they appear to be Anoshim. They appear to be Tzadikim to you. Send those people that appear to be Tzadikim to you. But in fact, maybe they were never Tzadikim to begin with.
But didn't you say somewhere here, certainly tonight, we've said that God chose these people?
Yes, at the beginning it says that Hashem chose them, yeah.
So that doesn't make sense with what the Orach Chaim just said.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. So let me look up, what does he say there?
I'm making you work tonight. There's no.
You really are. I just raised the Chaim Tzadikim. And you're there, Shem Rishayim. Oh, Vim Toma. So you're going to ask, V'lomo Yaskim Hashem Nishlach Rishayim. Why did God agree to send Rishayim? Right? This is the Orach Chaim speaking. V'ma gam sh'omar kosov al pi Hashem. It says in the Pasuk that he sent them according to Hashem, etc. And he quotes a Medrash that Hashem chose them. V'ulai ki b'prat zeh shel ha'rigel kol Yisrael shavu b'dei achas l'ragel ad asher ragloi. V'ulira esim yicholim l'kov sham kifi yicholis sh'ay b'Yisrael v'zeh yagin miyatayim v'nev ala zeh yikru u rishayim. Ah, he says maybe the following very interesting thing. He says maybe they weren't actually Rishayim to begin with. They were Tzadikim to begin with. That's why they were chosen by Hashem. But maybe because the intent of the people sending them was for the bad, he says maybe it started with the people that sent them. The people that sent them didn't have the correct emunah. They wanted the spies to go in. Right, remember all these people that came to Moshe, they weren't the ones who were chosen in the end, right? God chose, he said, right, spies, okay, you, and you. So the people that came to Moshe, as we said, they had the intention because they lacked emunah. And therefore, he says, maybe that changes, this is very Orach Chaim, Dick, meaning it's quite spiritual, that that could change the intentions of the people being sent. If you represent a community, if you represent people who have bad intentions, and that is who is sending you, he says it's like the rule that we say that the shlucho shel adam kamoso, the messenger becomes like the person who sent him himself. So he says that somehow, even in terms of your intent, Yolid b'techuna ra'ah, he says, that can help to give birth inside of you a bad intention, a bad character trait that you didn't previously have, he says.
So, because I'm just struggling with the order there, because you said we had the rabble coming and saying, this is what we want, quick thinking rabble about how now actually we want to not, of course we're going to conquer the land, we want to look at the riches.
Right.
And then God, so that intention was already there, and nevertheless, then God picked the spies, you, and you, and they were Tzadikim.
Yes.
So now they're off. So if it would have been the other way around, or something, but now we have to try and say that somehow they're already busy in the land somewhere. How is the influence of the...
Yeah. And also, I just flipped to Devarim as well, and it says rabble came, to coin Gideon's phrase. And then Moshe says, the idea was good in my eyes, so I took from you 12 men. So Moshe's intention was good in as much as the way he understood the spies' intention being good.
Yeah. Right, definitely. As we've explained.
So Moshe misunderstood.
Moshe's intention is good throughout. In answer to Gideon's question, how could it be that they influenced him? That's what I mean when I said it's Orach Chaim, like Orach Chaim being a Kabbalist. And explaining things, he's happy to explain things at that level, which is a bit beyond, I would say, you know, logic. He says actually, if you think about it, he says the following. In the same way, if you're a shliach mitzvah, you know, have you ever, you know, when you go to Israel sometimes, you go abroad, like Israel, I'm showing that I'm a rabbi, when you go abroad to Israel, when you go abroad, then sometimes people give you money, right? And you're a shliach mitzvah. Right, that you give money, you're taking money on their behalf, you're taking tzedakah, charity, on their behalf. So the simple understanding is, when you do that, then as the Gemara says, if you're on your way to do a mitzvah, then you have special protection. So you're on your way to give tzedakah for that person. When you arrive, you're going to give the tzedakah. So that's why they give you tzedakah. The Aruch Chaim says that a shliach mitzvah, because you're doing the action of the mitzvah, you have a special kedusha. You get a certain kedusha because he has sent you to do the mitzvah. It's not your mitzvah, it's his mitzvah, because you're just a messenger. But you get a certain kedusha, right? We can understand that. You can't quantify that, but you can understand spiritually speaking. So he says, if you're sent by a rasha, even though you're not in on it, you don't necessarily know, you know, why he is or what his bad intentions are, but they have sent you, then you will be influenced by that. And it might be slowly, but then you'll actually become the same as them, he says.
Yeah, because you've become a conduit for evil as opposed to good.
Yes, exactly.
But I think you have to go all spooky for that, because they were tzaddikim. They were then out. They weren't there. They were like up and down the land. The Bnei Yisrael was sort of standing on the borders, wherever it was. And nevertheless, they're what we're having to forcing ourselves is that they're being spiritually spookily influenced.
As one of my teachers used to say, I'm hiding behind the Or HaChaim on this one. Right? You know what I mean. All okay, right. We have to end there, but Shukoyach, thank you.
Thank you.
Very good, thank you.
Have a very good Shabbos.
Take care. Shabbos Shalom.